Okay, fine. So what we're talking about this week is the question of science and halacha, right? What happens when halacha makes certain assumptions about science, which turn out to be problematic? Right, as we mentioned before, right? Psak halacha is the interface between theoretical halacha and reality. So sometimes the problems are going to be not fundamentally in the theoretical halacha, but are going to be in the realia. So before we get to the classic case, right, there are a few classic gemaras everyone quotes. Before we get to a case of a mistake, the first thing everyone quotes is this following gemara in Psachim. The first source, gemara has a debate between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Umas Olam. How exactly does the sun relate to the earth? So the gemara says, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, B'yom, Chama Mahalechas Lamata Min Arakia, Uvalayla Lamala Min Arakia. So the Jewish sages said that during the day the sun goes underneath the sky, underneath the firmament, and at night it goes above it. The Chachmei Umas Olam Omrim, B'yom, Chama Mahalechas Lamata Min Arakia. During the day, it goes under, and then at night it goes underneath the ground. On Amar Rebbe, Venir and Divraim and Divarenu, they seem to be more right than us. Because during the day, natural springs are cold, and at night they're hot. So it would seem that the sun goes underneath the earth. Now, I don't know, right? Neither of these are quite accurate historically, scientifically, but that's not the point, right? The point is, everyone points to this Gemara. But it's a case where we're talking about reality, we're not talking about halacha, we're talking about theoretically what is happening in reality. Chachmei Yisrael of one position, Chachmei Umas Olam of another position, and we are modeh to the non-Jewish sages. So many people point to this Gemara and say, well, this is a raya that, look, if halacha was based on faulty science, so then, you see, we have no fundamental problem admitting that we're wrong when it comes to science, so we would change the halacha in accordance with the science because we have no vested interest. We have no, you know, we're not like ideologically attached to our scientific claims. We are obviously to the theoretical halacha, but not to our scientific claims. And, you know, if it turns out that our reality was wrong, that doesn't mean that we were wrong about the halacha. It means we judged halacha to the best of our abilities based on the science that we know, and it turns out we're wrong. Other people respond that this is not good, and we'll see these sources, and say no, there's a fundamental difference between scientific fact that has no bearing on halacha, and scientific fact which does. Why that would be, we'll get to, but that's basically, right, the framing of the whole issue, right, is while we can admit that in theory we can say, look, we were wrong about science, we're not experts in science, when it comes to halacha, is that equally true? Okay, so let's look. First source, this is the... I use these words too much because I'm talking about a Rodenzweig. But it's the Locus Classicus. Right? Ditanya. So the Gemara says like this, Relazer Omar Haori Kina B'Shabbos. If you kill a louse on Shabbos, Kahorek Gamal B'Shabbos. So the first day it says it's like killing a camel, meaning your chayev from Nitilas Neshama. Maskul Rav Yosef, Yosef said that can't be. Ad kan lo pligi rabana leider rabbi Elazar el bikina. De'eina paro verava. The Rabbanan say you're not chayev. And they think that by a louse you're not chayev because it's not paro verava. It doesn't procreate. It is spontaneously generated. But other bugs, they would agree that you're chayev because they do procreate. And both of them learn it from the paradigm of rams. Razor said, look, anything I kill, I'm chayev. I'll call sheish ben nitilas neshama. So anything I kill, that's considered the isur daraisa of nitilas neshama. Rabbanan savri ke'elim, ma'elim depar neravin, I've called depar neravah. And the Chum say, no, the category of rams teaches not that anything that's alive, you're chayev if you kill it on Shabbos, but anything that procreates, la fuke, to exclude that which spontaneously generates, being lice. Slight problem, anyone can chime in here, the slight problem is, lice don't spontaneously generate, okay. Right, this is wrong. And to make the matters worse, as I just put in brackets here, right, this is Nifsak in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, right? You are allowed to kill lice on Shabbos because they don't procreate. Just look at another few examples, and then we'll get to approaches. Another problem. Trefos. Right, there's a halakhic category called trefa of an animal and or human being that is not viable. So that animal or human being is now not entirely alive. Right, what exactly parameters are that is a little bit complicated, right? Tosfos Rid says in Shabbos, Daf Kof Amud Vav, that really someone whose trefa is alive, just the inyan ritzicha, right? If you kill a trefa, so the technicality that you're not chayiv misa. For an animal, if an animal is a treif, shchushchita isn't materate, and it's treif. And that's where the word comes from. It's treif. Okay? So, what are the treifos? So, the Gemara, as a case, it lists all the treifos, and one place says we learned it from Moshe. So, I just put the Rambam here. Rambam says, this list of what Chazal said a treifa was, we shouldn't add to it at all. Because anything that happened to these animals, besides for that which Chazal mentioned, and right, and that Chazal agreed that these could live, right? It doesn't matter what science tells us, right? These are the trefos. Anything Chazal said can live. Anything they said will die. Even if Chazal said that this is going to die, even if we see that it doesn't die, all you have is what the Chachamim say. So the Rambam very explicitly says, look, it doesn't matter what science says, and even though the category of trefa theoretically means that which can't live, doesn't matter. We go by the Misora. The next example, which is even more disturbing, this one's again, I'll get this a little bit later, but I have three more sources. Okay. Amar Mar Velo Safek Docha Shabbos. We're talking about Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you can. There are cases when you can't be Docha Shabbos. What case is that? Lasui Mai Lasui Yadu Tan Rabbanan Ben Shiva Machalon of Shabbos Ben Shmalona A Machalon of Shabbos. If a baby is born in the 7th month of conception, you can be Machal Shabbos because it's viable. In the 8th month, it's not. Safek ben Shmona and Machal Nevzav Shabbos. If it's Safek 7th or 8th, you also can't be Machal Shabbos. Ben Shmona Reiv Ke'eben Vasar L'Taltalo. And if a baby is born in the 8th month from conception, it's like a rock. We assume it's going to die. You have to leave it there. It's Mukta. Right? It's not viable, so therefore you can't save it. Right? Now, this also is based on faulty science. It's not just us, if you want. There was an article last year in Virapo Yerape 4, where, I forget who it was, but somebody in Einstein went through the historical background of this, right? This wasn't just Jews, the Greeks and the Romans, they all had their reasons why an 8th month baby cannot live. But what we have in front of us is three examples, right? Lice, right? Chazal say you can kill lice on Shabbos because they don't procreate. Two is trefos, where we have a list of trefos which ostensibly is based on whether or not they can live or not. And then you have the case of Shabbos, where we say a baby born in the 8th month from conception, which admittedly is hard to define, which is part of the problem, but cannot be saved on Shabbos. The assumption, again, that the baby can't live. There's three cases which are contradicted by science. So the question is, what do we do with them? Now, there are other ones, right? Chazal have all the medications you're supposed to take, right? Rosh Eragon already said ignore it, right? It doesn't mean anything. But let's focus on these examples and the different types of responses you get. Yeah, Matt.
Just in terms of the lice case, I was recently discussing with someone. How did the Chazal deal with this case in Gemara, which implies that certain things can spontaneously generate? That there is at least a strong view, at least in medieval Jewish thought, that we believe so strongly that everything is a first cause, and that's our basis for understanding the Kriyat HaOlam. So how are they so comfortable just sitting in that halacha? There's certain things that just poof out of nowhere.
Well, they don't poof out of nowhere. They just poof out of dirt. Right? They spontaneously generate the dirt. They don't come out of nowhere. They don't, right? They're still conservation of... Right. I mean, they're still conservation of mass, according to them. They're just not conservation of life force. Or something like that. I don't get it. I don't know. Whatever. They thought it came from sweat. I don't know. Sweat and dirt. Okay. Fine. So what do we do? Right? What do we do when halacha contradicts science? So first, theoretically, right? What are our options? Right? Let's go through our theoretical options.
Deny the science.
Great. Number two.
Change halacha.
Possibility three.
Case by case.
Case by case. Possibility four.
Somehow all fits.
Keep the halacha even while admitting the science is wrong and figure out some explanation, right? Those are pachod yoter options, right? And that is exactly the options we're going to see. Okay, well, before I get to it, you'll just look. We're not going to cover everything, but if you look at just the last page, you'll see I have other resources here. If you want a brief summary, which is very fair, Gil Student has a summary of these in an article he wrote called Halachic Responses to Scientific Developments. Just search it online, where right he basically deals with three of these possibilities. Denial, change of halacha, or case-by-case solutions, right? Basically everything, right, Slifkin has, you have the third page?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the bottom of the third page, right, where I put resources, right? Basically everything Rabbi Slifkin has written is about these topics. I haven't read through most of it, but I've read through parts of it. But speaking of Rabbi Weider, what Rabbi Weider gave me, what he thinks is the most substantive discussion to date is source three. There's a journal called B'chol Derechecha Da'eyu, and there's a back and forth between about four or five people on the parameters of this. It's quite fascinating. Anyone who wants it, come over to me. I'll give you the PDF later. And the last one, if you really want to do a thorough job in this, I found this week, and it was very exciting, is a article, not an article, I think it's the dissertation, of Neria Gutel called Hishtanut HaTvayim B'Halacha, right, the changing of nature in Halacha, which is substantive enough that, as we'll see later, in his Haskama, Reb Nebensal went through it line by line and gave his comments, and Reb Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg wrote an entire kuntres to make comments line by line, not like critiques, but like comments, substantive comments, because it's really he really did quite a phenomenal job. Everything he does is phenomenal. Okay, so let's see some of the main sources. So probably the most quoted source is a sefer that I have never heard of except for in this context, is the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak or Rabbi Yitzchak Lepranti. And there, he asks this question. He turns to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Brill, and he says, Chazal say that lice are spontaneously generated, and therefore we can kill them on Shabbos. I have akasha. They're not spontaneously generated. So, he says, right, Yitzchak Lepranti turns to his Rebbe and says, you know what I think? I, the person writing, say, if I had the chutzpah to say it, which translate rabbinic language, right? Ilav de mistafina, right? Or lulei de mistafina means I have a chiddush, right? Right? Lulei de mistafina means I would have said it, means I'm going to say it, and it's a chiddush, right? Lefini is daiti, is I have a big chiddush, right? Yes? Right? Lulei divrei magadoshim, if it weren't for the fact that you said this, I would have said this, means is a polite way of saying you're wrong, right? You just have to know rabbinic terminology, right? So ilav de mistafina, If I would have the chutzpah, I would say, Amina dibiz maninu, in our time, shechach mei ha-toladu, ibitu, vira'u, v'yadu, v'kadvu, that the scientists looked and saw and know and wrote, the kol balcha yiyeh mishi yeh, heve min ha-bitzim. Everything is created by, is born, right? It has eggs of some sort, right? Inside, outside, something, it procreates. Right? This is just true. It's been proven. Right? Uvda. Im gain. So therefore, shomer nafshu yirachek mehem. Anyone who cares about halacha should keep away from killing lice. Velo yaharog, lo parush, lo kina. Don't kill a louse, don't kill a flea. Val yachnis et mopi safek chiyuv chatas. What do you do? Right? Why would you put yourself in a situation of safek chiyuv chatas? And this I would have said, and I said, look, if Klal Yisrael would listen to the nations of the world, they would admit. And he quotes the Gemara that we did at the beginning in Pesach, and he says, look, we know, we don't have any philosophical claim about knowing all of science. So just like we admitted to them that they were more right about how the sun goes around the earth, okay, they were both wrong, it's not the point, right? We admit here also that they know we don't find. Now you can't, you're going to tell me I'm nisht from. I'm very from. I'm not being makel chas v'shalom rachmana litzlan. I'm being machmir, Right? You can't possibly critique me for being machmir. V'chachmi Yisrael shechazer v'hodol chachmi yilma ta'olam v'inyan mazal kavua v'galzal chodol horu be'etzba glav kol mili de v'zamr v'gmar v'piyah kabalahim. And now he makes a fundamental philosophical claim, which is not everything in the Gemara is Misoda, meaning science. Right? When Chazal says something about science, this is not halacha moshe Sinai. They looked into the science, they were responsible poskim, they went to the best science they had in their day. It turns out they're wrong, but fine. The Chacham Yisrael dibru gam heim lefamim mipi asecha v'chakira enoshin v'lo mipi ha-kabbalah. They spoke from human knowledge. Dim lokein lama lem the hodos. Because if everything they said, then they would never admit, right? You don't admit you're wrong if you have a misora, right? I don't care if the Chacham Yisrael will kick and scream and tell you that the sun goes one way. If God told you otherwise, you would listen to God. Right, but the fact that they're willing to admit their mistakes in science tells you that they have no masara for it. They're just talking as, right, people. And if they were talking from masara, they should have retracted. So he makes the philosophical claim, which is, we have no philosophical claim, we have no ideological claim that Chazal knew science. They did the best they can, but if they're wrong, they're wrong. So what's the problem? And therefore he paskins the halacha, you can't kill Eitham Shabbos. His Rebbe responds, Rebbe Yehuda Brill, and he says, no. He says, She'ein l'shanos adinim amyusadim al-kabot kadmoneinu b'shvil chakiras chachmei yumas olam v'chulei. Do not change halacha that was established by Chachmei Yisrael. Ve'in sorach l'mamin l'vakesh makom acharayot v'tainos. You shouldn't look for explanations, whatever. Avol b'shiyesh and rabbis batzumos ki tashpik kabbalat rabotinu shaladnei hadavar azeid biyu v'yastu dinu mishpat gamur. Because the halacha was established by Yisrael, that's it, over. Don't start looking to the science, it's wrong. V'od eidu ne'emana etzli matzgoz b'gemar d'psachim al inyan im agalgal kavua u'mazal chozer shechazu chachmei Yisrael bozo azman v'horol chachmei yimaz olam v'sov davar acharei mei rabot mishanim kol atchunon m'mot. Right? And he makes an even more ambitious claim. He said, you'll tell me that Chazal admitted to the Chachmei Mazolim about how the sun goes around the world. No! I have a Mesorah that after a few hundred years, they realized that they were right in the first place and they should never have retracted. Chas v'shalom, they were never wrong. And he ignores the Gemara and Pesachim, right? He doesn't know. Never happened. Right? Yes, they made a mistake, but okay. Then they realized they never should have thought they made a mistake. Chachmei Yisrael never make mistakes. They thought they made a mistake. I know better. They didn't make mistakes. Therefore, you paskin. What?
How was this written?
1600s.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So this is like
the 1500s. Yeah, don't worry. This is not like, you know, 50 years ago. No, this is the 500 years old. Ve'ein lozuz mimash nifzak apik maratenu. We shouldn't change what we pask in our Gemara. Afilu kol ruchot ha-chakirot ha-enoshiyot sholom boz v'noshos. Well, even if all the winds of science and whatever blow and try to blow us down, we should stand strong and always listen to our halacha. Ki ruach Hashem diber banu. Because the voice, the spirit of the Lord speaks in us. Therefore, the scientist is an idiot. He doesn't understand what he's talking about. Blah blah blah. And the secular scientists, they just see the periphery. They see the surface. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the depths. So the halacha is what it is. And therefore we ignore science, period. We are right, they are wrong. That's all there is to it. Right? So here, right, already 500 years ago, whatever it is, a few hundred years ago, I forget exactly what year it's written, right, you have the two extremes, right? Pachad Yitzchak, Yitzchak Lepranti says,
change.
Ryuta Brill says, never change, right? Okay. If you look next door, the Orchos Shabbos. There's a wonderful modern sefer, an Orchos Shabbos, by two Talmidim Rabbi Yashiv. So they write like this. The Gemara of Poskim Mivar Shemut Al Arokinim B'Shabbos Hayot Be'in Lam Chajibu Shal Bal Chayim Keim Anshenim Parm V'Rabim. The Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, everyone says you're allowed to kill Alas on Shabbos because they don't procreate. Amnam, like Abi Arikas Kidim Shabbos Amenu, but in our days, People say it's better not to. Because our lights do. Right, so they start with one of the, I forget what you called it, but one of the methods to make everything work together is what we call nishtana hateva. Nature changed. Like, we don't say that Chazal were wrong. It's like they had lice which grew out of sweat. We don't. So our lice are not their lice. Our lice are their fleas. I don't know. Right? And therefore, halacha, he says, halacha should change. But ideologically, right, he's bound to the assumption that Chazal can never be wrong, right? So far, right, we have the extremes. We have Yitzchak Lapranti, who says that Chazal can be wrong in science. You have Yehuda Brill, who says they can't be wrong in science. And therefore, they say either halacha does or doesn't change, respectively. The Orcho Shabbos suggests that perhaps you can say a middle position, which is called Nishtana Ateva, which is they were right, but we do pay attention to science, and therefore we can hold our ideological claim that Chazal were always right, while simultaneously allowing halacha to respond to reality. Just one second. Let's finish Orcho Shabbos, and I want to show you just what he does with this exactly. He says, next line, he says, so then he said, but what about if someone has lice in his hair? So look in the footnote. So look at the next page. So first he quotes, V'sever b'achad Yitzchak, kazav l'achmer b'zev, v'chein kazav l'tzor et Shabbos, v'chein shamanu v'shem agon rabbal yashur, shlita d'yesh v'limana b'zev. Right, so he quotes, v'chein shamanu v'shem agon rishlom v'zev, should, leith chayim hit your zos, v'chein shamanu v'shem agon rishlom v'zalman orbach. Right, so he says, first he quotes Yitzchak Lapranti, who's Oser, and he says, rabbal yashur paskin to asrit, Shlomo Zalman was matrit. We'll get to Shlomo Zalman. But if a child has lice and it bothers him a lot, so shamanu me'agon, or le'yashiv shlita, or nevzatzel, demuter l'raseis al rosho, chomer kotel kinim, demakom tzar gadol yishim lismoch al pashtras dina de gemar la'atirzos. So then you can put something, a cream in the hair that will kill the bugs, because demakom tzar, we can rely on the pshuto shel gemara. Right, so what you see from Eliashiv is sort of another type of middle position, which is we're machmer misafik, right? Right, he's misupag, right? Maybe we should be machmer because maybe nishtanu atefa, but since the Gemara says it's mutter, so maybe there's some other reason why we should make it, even if science is right, even if science is right and Chazal were wrong, which we'll get to. Right, and therefore he comes with a middle position, which is we treat it as a suffix l'chomra, but therefore there could theoretically be things that would push us in the opposite direction. Right, I couldn't because of tsar kill a dog, right? But I could because of tsar kill kinim because maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. Okay, we have two questions. No, bye.
Just on the first bit of this, when you confront something like this, do we say that?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell whether they right, believe it or they don't. I mean, I assume they believe what they mean what they say, and they say what they believe. I assume. Now, are there certain communities, right, who, I mean, look, Nishtana HaTeva, sometimes you have to wonder, right, because Nishtana HaTeva is a way of saying, look, I'm always going to allow halacha respond to science, but I'm never going to say Chazal are wrong, right? So that often is an ideological position, right? That I don't know whether everyone, I doubt that everyone who says Nishtana Ateva believes it. Sometimes just a convenient way of saying that I don't know whether Chazal were right or wrong, but La Halacha, I know what the Halacha is, and it's not like what they said, right? That Nishtana Ateva can be looked at as a cop-out position. I'm sure there are also people who believe it, right? There are definitely people who believe it. There are definitely people who don't. They use it as Shema Nishtana Ateva or something like that. So I think it depends, but often I think they do believe it. Okay, so far, right, what do we have? Just taking this test case, so we have, again, one extreme, which is always take science. On the other extreme, we have always take Chazal, Pshuto Kemashma. Then we have the possibility that, right, let's assume that the halacha will respond to reality, but ideologically we'll say Chazal are right, which is the Nishtana Teva position, right? And then there's the sort of another middle position, which is Rabbi Yashiv, that we're machmir, because we're misupak nishtanu ateva, something like that. But if push comes to shove, I'm not fully convinced that Chazal are wrong, for whatever reason, right, I'm not convinced, and therefore, push came to shove, I can be make ill, like Pshuto, like Gemara. So these are already setting up the range. Okay, next source. This is also often quoted. So this is, if you look in the Michtav Meliyahu, the Michtav Meliyahu is edited by Aryeh Carmel. So in a footnote, he quotes a Mesorah from Rav Dessler, which is often quoted, which is the next source. Ra'iti l'shom kan ma she'shamati b'feirish mi'kado shel Adoneinu Moreinu v'Rabbeinu ha'Rav Dessler Zatzal. Olo dinem achadim shadamim sh'ninu lahem einam lafi ha'metziyut sh'nitkala b'mechkar ha'tivim b'darot ha'achronim. Alright, what did Rav Dessler say about cases when science changes? Ve'elu l'chayos ve'elu l'olam eina din v'shtana af sh'atam eino muvan lanu. So he says, halacha never changes. Why? Not because science is right, but because science is wrong, but because we don't really understand why the halacha was that way in the first place. We should cling to the halacha. I am not like the Pachad Yitzchak. This is a very fancy lamdas, right? Rav Dessler claims the following: yes, Chazal can be wrong about science, but you thought that when Chazal asked the question, "Can you kill a kina on Shabbos?" they were actually asking the question, but no, they had a mesorah: you're allowed to kill kinim on Shabbos. And they thought the reason you're allowed to kill a kinim on Shabbos is because they don't procreate. It turns out they do procreate. So Chazal's reason was wrong, and that he's willing to say. But halacha is passed down. The halacha is true regardless. Now, what's the obvious philosophical problem with Rav Dessler? Yes? Yeah.
Or is he saying the halacha was created by them? Because of the science, or is he saying they got the halacha?
It's not entirely clear. It sounds like he thinks they got the Mesorah, right? They knew this was the halacha, and then they came up with explanations.
Is he then saying that for all or most of what Chazal say, they really just attributing, whatever they
say? Right, so the first problem is just philosophically, is general, is, right? It's a very strange thing to say that in general, right, all these arguments in Chazal are spurious. They don't really mean it. They just, right, they really knew what the halacha was, and they're just trying to backtrack every single case. More importantly, locally, what's the problem? Why doesn't it seem that way? Because it was a machlokas in the Gemara, right? Right. The Gemara had a machlokas. In fact, both sheikhs in the Gemara assumed that lice didn't procreate. They argued about whether the operative category was animals that procreate or animals that live, right? So clearly it wasn't a Mesorah. But that being the case, right, Rav Dessler comes up with another middle position, which is, we accept the possibility that Chazal can be wrong in science, but we deny the possibility that halacha is actually based on that science, right? Chazal's halacha is based on Mesorah and not on halacha. Now this, again, is very strange in this case, but it doesn't seem that way in the Gemara. Okay. two more sources. No, I mean, both the category of the halacha, right? If you look at the first Gemara, remember, right, they argue, right, why should I be chayev? Because anything that loses life, that's nitzilas neshama. The other Shita said, no, it's only killing something which procreates, right? But they both agree on the science, and they argue on the actual halacha. Okay, so, next source, should Heichal Yitzchak, who's Heichal Yitzchak? Anyone? Is Yitzchak HaLevi Herzog, right? Or Herzog? Okay. Pretty recent, had a PhD, right, very intelligent guy. Said, "Asofik shehut orer v'hevi leilahu kanareach shalosh nitzilas neshama." Right, again, he was asked this question. Skip down to the bold. Right, you know the question already. We've seen it 10 times. It says, "Amnam amadach adash kafishia duolan yiduali ena modeh be ginirtoyo spontaneous generation." Okay, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Spontaneous generation. We, halacha only have chazal. Ufizeh, vadai shemutter larog chida kim b'shabbat, filein amazikim, and therefore you can definitely kill lice on Shabbos, even if they don't cause you any trouble. Fad shehem gamamada modesh ein heitarbut shelahem ba'abaderach beriverivya ba'umana ragel yesh bitul lazeh. I'm sorry, this is bacteria. And therefore he said, for the same svara, right, bacteria don't procreate, so we can kill them. Fine. Va'od. More importantly, Eineni roet yesod l'isra l'amiz chidakim b'shabbat afil eina mazikim ho'ol v'eina nirim l'ayin klal. I can't possibly argue that killing bacteria would be killing, because they're not seen by the eye. V'eina b'chal mamlechet balichayim, so they're not in the world of animals. V'kol mlechot shabbat me'am mishkan l'madnu, and everything we learn from the mishkan, k'mo sh'amru sh'am gemara, b'plukta ezra l'ezra l'ayin, u'shneem l'amdu ala me'elim, mu'van ch'china zot, in lachav klal sh'arik chidak v'shabzi chayev, o she'i asra afil min rabbanan. Right, so he thinks, right, that we, right, you're allowed to kill a, right, a louse, because the halacha is the halacha, and he thinks that for the same reason you're allowed to kill bacteria. Now the svara he sort of swallows here, but it's explicit in Shlomo Zalman. I get it. Shlomo Zalman here. Okay. In Reb Nevenzahl's Haskama to Sefer Hishtanu Dateva says, Hagon Rishlomo Zalman Shlita Nogid Inan Kinam Halachul Chazal Lefi Maras Ha'ayin. Said, look, the halacha is nikba not on what is true, but on what seems to be true. Meaning halacha doesn't recognize things that happen at a certain level of, right, of just size. Right? Something that you don't see with the normal eye is simply not recognized by halacha, even if I admit that the science is wrong. Is right, rather. Chazal science is wrong. Right, Nevenzahl takes a different approach and says, no, nishtanu hateva. Okay, right. So, again, to summarize, right, let's, again, the range, we're just going to keep it in mind because a lot of possibilities, right? All the way out here, right? Change, Chazal, right? This is a normal shayla. Chazal were assessing their science. It was wrong. We rejected. That is Pachad Yitzchak, right? All the other extreme, everything the Chazal ever said, the halacha is Alpi Mesora, is Yehuda Bril, Rav Dessler, right? Over here, okay? Then in the middle, you have a few different positions, right? You have some people claim, look, Chazal could be wrong, but the halacha is right because Nishanu Atefa, right? Or you assume, like Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Heichal Yitzchak, that look, you just mentioned the category. It doesn't mean it isn't pre-reve at all. It means it isn't pre, right? It doesn't procreate to in such a way that the human eye can see, can perceive. And therefore, even if it's true that they do procreate, instead of bacteria, it doesn't matter. Halacha doesn't operate on that level, right? So the halacha remains the same. While we recognize how Chazal could be wrong about science, just in this case, that's not the point. You can come up with something like Reb Yashiv, which is a suffix position, which is we'll be machmir and assume that maybe, right, maybe Nishanu Atever, maybe Chazal were wrong, whatever. But when push comes to shove, I don't really believe Chazal were wrong either, because science is wrong or because something like Rav Shlomo Zalman. And so far, that's a range of our positions, right? Okay. Yet another one. Let's see how complicated this gets. Here, I made it easy for you because the PDF was impossible anyways to read, so I might as well read the English. This is Rav Shechter quotes all the time. This is the Hagdama of Rav Moshe Shmuel Glasner in his Sefer Dor Revi to Maseches Chulin. Read it in English. Due to the canonization of the oral law and writing the statement that, according to the law, the direct you shall go, right, even if they say right is left, by which the Torah instructed that the minority of a given presentation is bound by the decision of the majority, applies now after the completion of the Mishnah, Talmud, and the like, also between generations. This means that if a generation subsequent to the finalization of the Mishnah discovers that the authors of the Mishnah erred, or similarly, if a generation subsequent to the completion of the Talmud finds that the authors of the Talmud erred, we remain with this consensus, with the consensus of the earlier ones, whether this result is stringency or leniency. This is what the Sefer Chinuch writes, that it's better to tolerate one error in one law than to destroy, God forbid, the entire edifice. So here, he again makes the argument that halacha never changes. But what's his proof? Right here he gives a very interesting proof, which is not that Chazal can't be wrong, but
they
pass then like them even when they're wrong. And he said, what's his proof? If you remember back to our first class, right? Can Chazal be wrong? Well, many Rishonim, in fact, most Rishonim and Achronim, thought that, yeah, Chazal could be wrong, and we're obligated to listen to them anyways, because otherwise the system collapses. So he says, if we have to listen to them, either when Halacha is wrong, so why shouldn't we have to listen to them when science is wrong? It's the exact same thing, the same formal rule. We cannot deviate from that which they established as law in the Mishnah or Gemara, even regarding something based on science or on other disciplines. Consider also the rule that one is not liable for killing a louse on Shabbat, and that it's permissible to eat fruit and cheese that have developed worms. Now, this is true. We paskin, you can eat cheese that has worms that have never separated from them, because halachically we treat those worms as if they grew in the cheese, like from the trees. They're not actual bugs. I don't know why you would want to, but fine. Provided the worms are not separate from the fruit, these laws are found upon the consensus of the sages, that these insects spontaneously generated rather than through sexual reproduction. Now, in truth, the scientific consensus today is that there is no insect that does not procreate by means of eggs. Nevertheless, we shall not overturn the law, even in the name of stringency, against the ruling and consensus of the sages. One's compelling need necessitated that the oral Torah be canonized for future generations. We do not have the authority to change even the slightest detail, which they decided and agreed upon, whether with regard to the explication of verses or matters relating to science, for all their Torah is holy to us, and one must not deviate from it. Now, right at the end, right, he suggests the possibility, right, again, he swallows it, that if, what, right, if we had a Sanhedrin, that, or then we could change it, right? But his point is, at least now, the same way we're bound to Chazal if they make a halachic mistake, we're bound to them if they make a scientific mistake, because that is what you need for the unity of the system. Okay. Should we read through the last two sources? Okay, we'll quickly read through the last two sources, and then the rest is going to be outside, because I couldn't put all the makaras. All I put here was the light stuff, and then we'll get to the other cases. Okay, the next is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? And he just goes the, whatever, I won't read it inside, you can read it yourself, but he goes the root of saying that science is just wrong, right? He basically says, lo ra'inu hinaraya, the fact that we haven't seen lice spontaneously generate doesn't mean they don't, right? Oh, we see eggs, okay, so they see eggs, but you don't know they don't spontaneously generate. Do you want to read inside? Should we read inside? Okay. You can read through it yourself. The last source here is Shevet HaKehati. This is Rav Shammai Kehati, recent tshuva. He said, again, Matadi Gamkein B'Sefer Mekor Chaim L'Chavaz Yari B'Kitzer HaLachos Shekazev D'Besifro Aroch Heyer Mizeh Amah Shechach Me'ateva Omrim D'Kinim Shebarosh Pei Ruvei Karchal Ava Lo Zachinu L'Perish Aroch Shelo Vadi D'Chazal Vada Yadu Mizeh D'Akol Ayagol Lefneim El Terek Lomer D'Zman Chazal L'Kinim Shebarosh Lo Yer Pei Ruvei Right again Nishtanu Ateva Valkein Nira L'Chora D'Yish L'Hachmer V'Lasser L'Aroch HaKinim Shebarosh Kevin Shem Parm Rabim. And since it's based on Nishtanu Ateva, so B'Zman HaZeh we would be Machmer. Okay. So this was a very quick summary of basically the range of positions that you have. By the Lice case, right? Ranging from the positions who say, halacha changes, talacha doesn't change, talacha doesn't change because it was either it's a formal rule and even if it's wrong we have to accept it, or you misunderstood the rule, or all rules are really halacha moshe misina and the explanations seem to are just, right, spurious. To sort of suffix positions, which you found in Rebbe Yashiv. And this is basically, Pachar Yoter, the discussion of lice. Yes?
If we say Nishan HaTeva, can we make over that?
Meaning, Nishan HaTeva would come out of Chumrah, right?
Always?
Well, not always, but...
And what about the Eitmah?
Okay. So far, all we talked about was the lice, right? But if you remember, right, at the beginning we said, right, what are our choices, right, halakhically? Our choices are, right, we had four choices, right? Denial of science, denial of, right, changing the halacha, right? Reinterpretation of the halacha, and what was the fourth one?
Case by case.
Right, so far, all we did was analyze one case, and that is the case of lice, which, in a Hanami, basically shows you the different positions that people take in general. But not always. So now, Let's come back to the case of trefa. Okay? So, let's say I hold by lice that I look at the Gemara and I say it doesn't seem to be right that Rav Arya Kaplan's quotation of Rav Dessler is correct. Right? That Gemara, it just doesn't seem that way. Now, there's an actual machlokes. They both agree that it's spontaneously generated. They have a machlokes about the nature of the halacha. Is it things which are prayer vei? Is it things where they have nitzilas and neshama? It just doesn't sound like they had a mesorah. So therefore, I come down, which my tendency would be to do this, and say, look, it's usher. Right? My tendency is that this is a real mitzios machlokes. That's what it sounds like. It's a assumption based on mitzios, right? There's no mesorah. The Gemara argued about it. I don't know why this is a formal rule. In the case of lice, I really don't understand the shittas who say this was a formal rule passed down to Moshe, because look, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. So in a chanam, we paskin that way. Right? And I don't particularly understand either the Dor Revi'i. Because what do you mean that we accept their formal cases, right? Their formal halacha. Right? That's not true. There's not a formal halacha. The rule wasn't you're allowed to kill kinim. The rule was you're allowed to kill things which are not prey or vei. Right? They were arguing about principles. Right? We're applying the principle the same way. It just happens to be that we know the mitzvahs to be different. I don't understand why we're bound to formal rules. So that's kinim. What about trefa? So what do you think? Does trefa logically follow the same rules as kinim? So let's look at the Rambam, right? What does the Rambam say? Right? Again, Ein lahosif al trefos elu klal. Shekol sherabeima l'chaya o l'ov kotz me'elu shemanu chach me'idaros ha'reishon v'eskim alin v'at edini Yisrael efsher shetichye v'afilu no dalanu v'derech harafuah she'ein sofa l'chiyav. Right? The way the Rambam formalizes the Gemara, and it seems to be all the way in the Gemara, is that trefot, right? Chazal thought that trefot was what? Simply the all-inclusive list of those things which, right, could not were viable, were not viable, etc. Right, that was basically what they thought the list did. But the Rambam said, no, I mean, you look at the Gemara, it says, this is halacha mosh misina what a trefa is. The Rambam said, look, trefa is different. Trefa really is a mesorah. Right? And you can actually have cases where the animal is going to live, but it's a trefa, or it's not going to live, and it's not a trefa. And this, when it comes to trefa, is pretty much pe'echad the poskim. Ramosha Feinstein, Shlomo Zalman, the Chazon Ish, they all go to great lengths and say, look, I don't care what you say in general, it's befeirus in the Rambam, that trefa at least, right? The Rambam isn't not moved out of the fact that there can be things which will live that are trefos. He knows very well the science could be wrong. But his point is, no, that's not how trefa worked. The Gemara used the lashon that kibbul may Moshe Rabbeinu Misinai. Right? This trefa is a mesorah. Now, admittedly, right, this is a little bit more complicated than it looks, because, as I mentioned before, right, there are two types of trefos. There are trefos of animals, and then there are trefos of human beings. Right? So the nafkamina of a trefa of an animal is what?
If it's kosher.
If it's kosher, right? Okay, very simple. So the Rambam says, look, for that, rules of kashrut, it's a halacha mosher misinai, and therefore it doesn't change. And this really is the consensus of poskim. But what? What about trefos of human beings? Right? If you think someone's a trefa, what's a nafkamina? If you kill them, you're not chayav misa. Right? So that, you might say, okay, fine, we're always machmir. Right? We always try to not kill somebody, so fine. So we don't want you to kill him, and someone else, if he kills him, we don't want to put him to death, fine. But there are other nafkaminas, such as your pasul eidos, right, if you're a trefa, because you're not alive, you're not fully alive. Right? I heard, and I can't confirm this story, but kach shamati mide pam, that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was convinced that he was pasul eidos for the last, like, 20 years of his life, because he had a pacemaker, right? So he's a trefa, I mean, his heart doesn't work, right? It's a pretty classic case of trefa. And that's a really interesting question, right? Because, look, it's true that he's going to live, but it's also equally true that he's not naturally living, right? He's artificially being kept alive by a pacemaker, which is controlling his heart. So, right, if you think that trefa simply means you're going to live through the year, so, okay, so he's not a trefa. But, on the other hand, right, if you think that trefa is formal rules, and you say, look, there is even a scientific basis to him being a trefa, meaning he's not living naturally, right? He's living because he's being kept alive by modern science, but he couldn't under normal circumstances. So then, right, you would say he's a trefa even though he's going to live. So, when it comes to trefas by animals, people almost chad v'chalak say, there, whatever you think by lice, right, that's halacha moshe misinai. Really, there's a huge... I recently had this on the Makor Shi, then I was like, forget it. It's like a 5-page tshuva by Ramosha. And 3 places in the Chazon Ish. But by people, they're much more reticent to say that, right? Because if it's a trefa, you can't be mechalal Shabbos for him, right? Things like that. You don't want to do that, right? Pikuach nefesh, right? Already, people are a little bit, right? Not so comfortable to just say, let's throw caution to the wind and say it's an objective halacha. Third case is the most troublesome, right? Which was
the baby,
right? So here, if you look, for example, in encyclopedia, yeah.
Does that mean that, if Rav Aaron had gotten sick on Shabbos, he wouldn't have gone to the hospital?
What? No, I don't think we pass in this way. I'm just saying, like...
But if you said that,
Rav Aaron passed in Rav Salvechik. Yeah. But again, I don't think that would have been the case, because Lemaisa, you can be most of life to him. I don't, Again, I think he was machmir. I think he was machmir by things that are not Pikuach Nefesh, but Pikuach Nefesh were always Mekel. Which brings us to the next case, which is the 8th month case, right? Here, if you pass in... like Chazal science, you're going to let the baby die, even though it's really, really easy, right? I was born in the 8th month, right? I'm alive, right? I'll tell you, there are weird cheetahs, or Shechter, when he gives this share, tells a story that there are Achronim who think that if a baby is born in the 8th month, since Chazal says he's not viable, he doesn't become halachically, I told this to Benjamin, I think, right, doesn't become halachically considered alive, he's not Yotzei Midei Safek Nefil until he's 20 years old. So, Rish Lakish said this position as a joke, because, that's an absurd position. When I was 18, I was also alive, I'm pretty sure. But he said he had someone in his class who was a preemie, and he was 18 years old, and he freaked out, because oh my god, I'm dead. And then 2 years later, and it was 20th birthday, he comes over to Rosh Hashanah and he's like, Rebbe, wish me a mazel tov, I'm alive. And Rosh Hashanah's like, what are you talking about? You've been in my chair for 3 years. He's like, don't you remember that you told me that I'm dead? I'm like, he's like, I didn't think anyone took that shit seriously. But we know people can live. So if you look in the encyclopedia of medical ethics by Avram Steinberg, he says, Ruba de Ruba of responsible poskim say that in that case, Bachal Shabbos to save the kid, because you can, because we know the Bizman is in Ochanami. So I don't care. 7th month, 8th month, 9th month, forget Chazal science. Whatever their science was, it's not true, right? We save a lot of people that should have died, right, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, right? Mortality rate of babies and mothers has gone down very, very low. It's 1 in 1,000 births now, or 1 in 10,000 births, when it used to be, 30% or some absurd number. And why? Because it's Pikuach Nefesh. And no one's willing to say about Pikuach Nefesh, let's just assume this is a formal rule. I mean, some people are, right? In fact, in the BDD article, if you look in the B'chol Derech HaDe'eu, so someone quotes the Minchas Yitzchak as saying, we don't save the baby. And the respondent is like, please read to the end of Chuvos, because yes, in paragraph 18, he raises the possibility that you shouldn't save him. Then in possibly 20 and 21, he's like, what are you talking about? Of course you save the baby. No one ever had the Havamina that when it came to that, they were going to let a baby die. So, that being the case, right, it does seem to be that the case-by-case position is actually what many poskim take, right? Because, a lot of poskim pretty much divide across the line by the lice case. Because, you kill a lice, you don't kill a lice, allow some Shabbos. Fine, you think Chazal are right, you think the science is wrong, you think that science is wrong and Chazal are right, you think this is a formal rule, you think it was a misora, you think it's about whether something is near a lion, okay, whatever. You see the whole range of positions, right? You get to the other extreme when there's Pikuach Nefesh, right? The 8th month baby. No responsible posig comes and says, Chazal said that the baby is going to live, let the baby die, right? No responsible posig is going to say that because it's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh were always machmir, so I don't care what your ideological hang-ups are in general, right? You'll simply say, look, the baby is going to live, and it's going to live. What are you telling me it's not going to live? Okay, it couldn't live before. Now it can. No responsible posek is willing to say we let the baby die. And then we have trefos, where, right, basically everyone, even responsible poskim who are all into science. Hey, look, there's a lot of evidence that trefa is halacha moshe mizinai, right? And it has nothing to do with whether the baby is actually going to live or not. In fact, it's explicit in the Rambam. It's not like the Rambam rejected science. He just thought that trefa was halacha moshe mizinai, right? So you have, basically, right, one type of case where everyone basically says, look, reject the halacha as it stands and go by the science. And that's usually Bikach Nefesh cases. On the other extreme, you have people that you have the case of Trefa, where pretty much everyone says, right, it is Halacha Moshe Misinai. And then you have the Lice case, where people argue. I think Lifi Anis Daiti, I think the evidence points to the fact that it really is a Mitzios issue, and therefore it should be Aser. But there are many, many, many prominent posts come and think that's not the case. I forgot to mention, Zalman Lechemi also, in his critique, says that's the case. Or you can read the piece. Right? He also agrees that was Rosh Shlomo Paskin, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Paskin. You have a question.
In theory, and so let's put Trefa aside. Let's say we have the lice and we have the baby. So in theory, I would think that in any given posik should Paskin consistently in both cases. As unless we say Pikuach Nefesh as a klal.
So I'd say, like,
a unique case. In theory, we should say that whatever kind of, however you understand the voice of the science and the logic, the same thing.
So, in theory, yes, right? If you hold like Rabbi Yashiv, no. I mean, if you think it's suffake, right, then you're machmer in both directions, then obviously you wouldn't, right? I think any of the Vaday positions should, in theory, equate between the Lice case and the 8th month case, right? If you hold suffake, obviously not, because suffake kina should be machmer, and suffake pikuach nefesh should be machmer on pikuach nefesh. The other way out of it, right, is to assume that what, right? Why do we save somebody's life on Shabbos? Well, the Gemara gives, well, five reasons, but, right, L'maskana, the Gemara says, V'chai Bohem, right, but it also says, right, the second to last answer is, Chal Alav Shabbos Achas, Kadei Shekamu Shabbos Is Harbe, right, and L'halacha, right, it's not clear, we reject that one, right, really, Mekar Den, we Paskin V'chai Bohem, but the Ramban famously holds, take a step back, right, are you allowed to save Mechal Shabbos to save an Ubar, in the stomach, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, right, that, you can. Why? Right, you definitely can. Why? So, according to the Rambam, a fetus is considered alive, and it has a din v'chayv b'hem, it's already alive. Then why are you not chayv misa for killing a fetus? It's gzeiras hakasuv, right? But it's murder, right? And therefore, the Rambam says very simply, v'chayv b'hem. The Ramban, according to Bahag, says no, a ubar is not alive, but chalav shabbos achas, k'yishu k'mu shabbos is harbe. The Rush says it's a non-issue, because any time the baby's in jeopardy, so is the mother, right? You know. So therefore, it's always pikuach nefesh of the mother, anyways. But leaving that aside, right? The Ramban says no. By ubar in Achanami, the ubar is not alive. But chalav shabbos achas kedeshim akam u'shabbos is harbe. So in theory, you can distinguish along those lines because you can say, look, fine, you want to say the baby's not alive, right? For whatever reason, but it's no worse than an ubar because if practically with science I can make the baby live, I know I can make the baby live, right? Then chalav shabbos achas kedei shekamu shabbos is harbe. That's one way of doing it. Or the way that almost all of the acharnim do it, right? Or a lot of the acharnim do it is I pull in suffik and I say, what? How do you know the baby is conceived? How do you know this is the 8th month of conception? You can never really be quite sure when the baby was conceived, which is true, right? Even today, even nowadays, right? How do scientists assess the age of a fetus? Do you know this? They count from the woman's last period, right? There's no good scientific way of figuring out the exact, I mean, there is, but very rarely do we actually go for the exact day, right? Really, the pachori yoter, you go in and you ask when the woman's last period was and you count from then, right? And you approximate. And we try to use machines that say, how old is the baby? But like, you know, we would go in and like some days Mayer would have developed his age, and some days he'd be a few days ahead of, right? And it would change, right? It'd be like, then the due date changes. It went from April 22nd to April 20th, the whatever, right? And then he was born, you know, April 4th. You know, like, it's not, right? Even with modern science, right, it's hard. So a lot of, right? So one way of saying is no, right? That case is also tamun b'safeg, right? So you can sort of sidestep the ideological issues, right? So, well, I think in theory you're right, right? Chag is never quite that neat because, first of all, you can come up with different halakha categories like Chalav Shabbos Achas don't require you to make claims about the legal viability of the baby, but only the practical viability of the baby, right? And you can also simply say, that's in theory what I would paskin, but I think it's impossible to ever know if the baby's 8th month, and then you can hide behind that veil and limaisa paskin that the baby, that you're allowed to save the baby. Right? So, while in theory it should be that neat, it's not that neat, because halacha is never quite that neat. There's always a million moves that you can choose to make. Okay. So, to summarize what we had. We asked the theoretical question of how does halacha relate when it contradicts it, the science that is based on is contradicted. And the range, we said, in theory, and in theoretical shayla, is to say everywhere from. Halachic shaylas are based on, always are based on science. If the science is contradicted, we reject it, which is basically what the Pachad Yitzchak sounds like, at least in the case of lice. All the way to the other extreme, we have the people who say, look, science is wrong, which is the Rabbi Yehuda Brill, quoted in the Pachad Yitzchak, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. In the middle, we have the people who maintain halacha, but either reinterpret it by saying, right, it never, right, halacha didn't mean it, all it meant was that you don't perceive them procreating, or nishtanu hateva, so their lies did, but ours practically don't, right, those are ideologically different, right, one is saying Chazal never made a mistake, right, one is saying Chazal never made a mistake, our science changed, one is making the ideological claim that Chazal never meant it scientifically. You have Rabbi Kaplan quoting of Dessler, said no, it's really halachal Moshe Mi-Sinai, and the reason is just, the reason was wrong, they're not tied to the reason. Chazal may make a mistake, but in halacha they're not. You have the Suffolk position, which is Rabbi Yashiv, right, I'm not really sure, and I'll be machmer unless push comes to shove, and then I'll be mekel. And that's basically the range of positions. You find them all by lice, because lice is not such a big deal, right? Then you come to trefos, and by trefos, really, pretty much everyone goes with the Masura. Not because they think that science can't be right and all can be wrong, but simply they don't think that's the category we're dealing with. That trefos are not really about science. You might think they are, but there are many mashmaria in the Gemara, and it's explicit in the Rambam, that trefos are not about science, and therefore, despite the fact I would have thought it is, so at least trefos by animal, we go by halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. But once you get to human life, it gets trickier. Because by people, you don't really want to say that a trefa of a person is, you know, someone who has a pacemaker is a trefa, and you can't, you know, if you kill him, you're not chayav misa, and things like that. So their poskim are really much more reticent to say it, but thank God it doesn't really come up so much, right? Because we don't have Sanhedrin, so it doesn't really make a difference as much. We're always going to save their life misafek, and we're not being mechayav anyone misa. But there is this apocryphal story, I don't know whether it's true, their Rabbanan Soloveitchik thought it was possible Eidus. And then really there's the 8th month baby, which really pushes in the opposite direction, where, right, everyone has the feeling that it can't be that we're going to let someone die because of a formal rule. So either you explain it in a way and say, look, that so it's always a suffix, and suffix being Yoch Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, or you say practically, yes, in theory I would say that you should let the baby die, but since I never know whether it's an 8th month baby, me suffix, Pikoch Nefesh Docha Shabbos, or you say that, look, the Chaybahem doesn't apply because, yes, halachically the baby isn't considered alive, but has potential to live, and therefore Chal Lav Shabbos Achas. And there's a whole, you know, sort of host of different decisions we can make, but all pretty much come to the same conclusion, because by Pikoch Nefesh, no responsible posek is going to let the baby die when you know practically the baby can live. You can explain it however you want, but right, this is not my summary, right? This is, again, the encyclopedia of medical ethics, Jewish medical ethics, right? That's a summary. No, Ruba the Ruba post can say you can save the baby. Okay, so that basically is the summary of the issues. There are many, many, many cases. The last thing I want to read you, and this is from the last few pages of Rav Neria Gutel's book. Here it is. So Neria Gutel basically comes to the same conclusion that I do, that it's a case-by-case basis. He suggests a set of 7 rules of how you know whether it's the type of case that goes by Masora or the type that's actually based on science that you change. These are his rules. 1, you look at the Makor Halacha in a Matzri Lo Mekra Aflo B'Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. So first thing you do is you check. Does this Halacha seem to be Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai or not? Right? So we saw, right? Trefa seems to be, you know, several people claim that the case is true by lice also that's Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. There's no evidence of that in the Gemara. So if it's Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, or it seems to be based on a pasuk like a drasha, so then, right, that's the most likely candidate for saying we follow it even if the science is wrong. If it's not, we can start talking about the possibility that the science is wrong because the halacha isn't passed down. The halacha was an assessment of reality. Condition 2. אין מדובר בתחום שהוגדר בשעתו כסכנה בפיקוח נפש. אדרה, אתה מדובר בסד חיים. The second one said, פיקוח נפש breaks all rules. Right? Because you have to be 100% sure that science is wrong and that that's relevant to let somebody die. No posik is willing to do that because halacha tells you that suffik, pikuach nefesh is docha everything. And therefore, when the pikuach nefesh, right, we push always in the direction of whatever is going to allow you to save the person. Three. Hamidubar b'tofa'a ba'alat futsa klal olamit asherina mitzumtemet limigzar. So the third thing he points out is that if something is a universal halacha, like by changing the halacha in this thing, we would also change whole tracts of halacha. So there's always a bias towards assuming that the halacha won't change. For example, all of kashrus, right? Much of the rules of kashrus, right? This we didn't get into. It's really complicated, but right, just to mention it, right? Much of the rules of kashrus are based on the assumption that certain things are balea, that certain things have taste, when often it's not true. But if we... Right, but the assumption tends to be that we keep hilchos kashrus as they are because it's formal dinim from the Gemara. And if anyone were going to get up and say no, it's actually based on just taste, right? All of hilchos kashrus would basically collapse on its head. Right, Rav Dani screams about this all the time that we are machmer like a shita of the Rosh that there's something called zeya, right? If there's steam of treif food, that it makes things treif. So we have this problem in factories that sometimes there's trefos, there's zeya of trefos or zeya of milk and meat, whatever. So now how do we kasher the kelim? We run steam of ammonia through it, which halachically works because we paskin the zeya, right? Just like the zeya of the trefos got into the walls, so to the zeya of the ammonia gets into the walls and makes it nosin tam of gam, and therefore it's fine, right? What's the problem? If zeya existed, we would all die. Right, because if Zeya actually existed, right, the ammonia would have gotten into our food and we would die. Right? So Donnie, you know, yells about this a lot because there's a little bit of a cognitive dissonance going on there, right? Because like we try to solve the Zeya of the Rush that we don't really believe in by using Zeya that if we believed in Zeya would kill us, but we don't really believe in Zeya. But what can you do? That's Hilchos Kashrus, right? Hilchos Kashrus, we're not really willing to jettison all of Hilchos Kashrus. So we assume that some of it is formal. Fourth, yeshna askama madait rufuit klalit vachida b'davar mitzvim v'mishurim kayom azev ein machish lahem. Right? If there, the next issue you have to look at is whether it's agreed upon science. Right? If it's not agreed upon science, obviously we're going to be more likely to keep the halacha. If it's everyone says that this is the case and halacha was wrong, we're more likely to either change the halacha or claim nishtana atefa. Rather than, but we're going to have to do something, right? When all, right? As opposed to having the out of saying it's a suffix in science. The fifth thing is that the evidence that we have is direct evidence and not indirect, right? Science, which is only by implication, we're going to take less seriously than science has already been proven, right? Hypotheses based on speculation, based on other cases, are obviously going to be less likely to push us to either reject the halacha or claim nishtana ateva, and we might just reject the science. But if it's a direct analysis, we're more likely to either change the halacha or claim nishtana ateva. Shishit hamidubar b'shinu ikvi l'shipur l'tovav l'nosiga. Right. Again, we have to look on whether it's a shinui ikvi, right? Whether right there's ways of explaining this sort of systematically or not. And the seventh is a chenireki yesh lechei b'chol kolei alachashen gvadzim taviv nidon zeh einach, right? And the last thing, which we've already mentioned, is the possibility that different halachos are just different, right? And this is what we already talked about, right? Is that besides these general six rules, it may just be that different halachos are different, right? And the standards for being alive for Shabbos are different than the standards of Yibam, which are different from the standards of Eidush, which are different from the standards of Yerusha, etc., etc. And different categories are going to have different ones. Okay, so that's basically the summary. If you want to look more, you know, look at any of these sources I put on the bottom of the page. Like I said, I think the conclusion that comes out from most sources is that people take a case-by-case basis. And in each case, decide whether the halacha is likely to be formal or not, whether it's really based on science or not. And, you know, pikuach nefesh throws an axe into everything. Okay, and that is it for now.